3. Good evening, everybody. There we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. This is W2TTT, Whiskey 2 Tango Tango Tango. My name is Gordon, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. We'll be using the call sign K2BAR tonight, the call sign of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. And the wonderful thing about the technical net is that you can talk about pretty much anything you want. The general purpose of the net is to discuss things technical. Well, our hobby is technical, so we can talk about electronics, communications, things that make that happen, things that use communication, the people, the experiences, all of that interplay among the various left-right side brain functions are all open for discussion. And it's a pleasure being here. This is one of the four baronets. Four? Five, I'm sorry. No, four, I was right the first time. We have a 10-meter net on Monday at 28350 at 9 p.m. Upper side band. We have another net on Wednesday at 9 o'clock on this frequency, 14679. And that net is a general purpose chat net, information dispersal net. We have a net at 8:30 on Thursday. Currently it's on 443-100, up in Franklin Lakes, because the 444.1 repeater in Hackensack is currently down. But things are moving along, I think, on that front. That's at 8:30. And then, of course, there's the technical net on Thursdays at 9 o'clock back here on 14679. So, without further ado, let's talk about checking in. Okay, the way we check in on this net, pretty straightforward. You drop your call sign, you give your name, and then you indicate whether you have a question, a comment, or none of the above. We encourage you to check in, even if you don't have a question or a comment, because your mere presence may trigger a topic or provide appropriate context for the way an answer is presented. So we do need to know if you're out there. If for any reason you cannot check into the net, but you can hear the net, you are welcome to send an email to w2tangotangotango@arrl.net. That's whiskey2tangotangotango@att.net. We use that instead. Quicker. So, with no further ado, let's start in. Stations whose call signs begin with Alpha, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment, or none of the above, please call K2BAR. Okay, nothing heard. Let's start with the whiskey stations. Any whiskey stations? I think all the usual suspects are out of date. All right, let's try the Kilo 2, stations whose call sign begin with Kilo and the number 2. Let's call K2BAR.
K2 Zulu Oscar, no questions or comments at this time.
Evening, Jim. Okay, K2 Zulu, any other Kilo 2?
K2 Zulu Charlie Dave, no questions or comments.
Okay, got Dave, K2 Zulu Charlie. Good evening to you, sir. Who is the other station?
AMI, Tony.
Hi, Tony. You have a question or a comment for the net?
Questions, no comments yet.
Okay, very fine. All right, any other Kilo 2s? All right, any other Kilo stations? Please call K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is KC2PYB.
Richard, good evening to you. Do you have any questions or comments for the net?
That's affirmative. I have one question for the net.
Okay, very awesome. Good. All right, any other Kilos? Okay, nothing heard. Let's try the November stations. Any November stations?
K2VAR, this is NJ2K Mobile Mike.
NJ2 again.
November Juliet 2, Bravo Alpha. November Juliet 2, Bravo Alpha. No questions or comments at this time.
Hi, good hearing you. Mike from the Millennium, that on 6 meters. I don't know the time. I think it's 9 o'clock. Maybe it's 8, I'm not sure, but on Wednesday night, 50.135. Do I have that correct, Mike?
That's right. We start at 9. We sometimes run until as late as 11 o'clock. Lately, we've been going till 11:30. So 10:30. Anyone with 6 meters out there can join us on 50.135 Wednesday night.
Yeah, once they're done with the baronet at 9 as well. The baronet runs anywhere from 20 minutes to about 50 minutes. So that's a great idea. I know Don W2JEK checks into both usually. Alrighty. Pardon the munching, guys, but dinner is in front of me. Alrighty. Let's see. Any other November stations?
November 2, Oscar Echo Lima.
Good evening, Noel. Any questions or comments for that?
No questions.
But I have no comments, I have none. Okay. Any other November stations? Okay, any station, any call sign. As long as your license for the 2-meter band, check in, please. With your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment, or none of the above, please call K2BAR. Alrighty. Very fine. Let's see now. I think we have one question. Before we start on with that question, though, I just want to remind everybody that on Sunday, we have a transmitter hunt at 12 noon at the Westwood High School, and that's in Washington Township, and there's pizza to follow. And, Tony, I have one question. Do we do this rain or shine? Because rumor is that Charlie's intending to do this rain or shine.
Sorry, Gordon, I didn't understand the question. I had interference here.
Okay. The question is, this will happen rain or shine on Sunday, right?
Except extreme lightning and downpours. But it looks like latest forecast is the rain will be in the morning on Sunday, and it should end by noontime. So there might be light showers, and that's no problem. We can work with light showers.
All right, that's good, because there was a lot of hand-wringing about that in certain circles. I didn't understand why, but one of the prospective participants was suggesting that they would not be interested in participating if it's raining, whereupon I pointed out that, as you said, unless it's unsafe, it's going to happen. Alrighty. With that bit of business folded up, let's go to Richard's question. KC2BYB. KC2BAR. Your question, sir.
KC2BAR, this is KC2BYB. I've been DXing lately, and this evening, I usually go on 17 meters, but what I have is a Yazoo 897 with the ATIS 120 antenna. I was on 17 meters. Now, yeah, it didn't look too great outside as far as the weather was going. It looked like it might start thunderstorming any minute. And it would not tune automatically on the ATIS antenna. And it kind of had a high SWR as well. But, you know, the heck with it. Really couldn't get anything or really tune or stay locked on any station. And I went up to 20, and the antenna tuned like 1, 2, 3, and 20 meters was hopping like you wouldn't believe. Is it possible for propagation or whatever to knock out one frequency or really play havoc with one frequency and another one opens up like you wouldn't believe? KC2PYB.
Absolutely. absolutely. Well, first of all, 17 meters is higher in frequency, so the maximum usable frequency has to get to be a higher frequency if we have to have more solar activity to get what they call the MUF, or maximum usable frequency, up to that range. So it's very possible that 20 meters could be hopping and 17 be a dead door, a dead doornail. That happens with 15, 12, and 10, or 6 meters as well. So I'm not really terribly surprised. The one thing that you asked about or put in your narrative that makes me puzzled, you were saying that, or suggesting that the antenna wouldn't load on 17 meters, but would load on 20?
That's affirmative. It just cycled back and forth. I tried it like 3 times, and it would not load on 17 meters. And I've been very lucky the last few days on 17 meters. I had no problem. I had this problem once before with the radio this week, and it was like all the frequencies were a problem. Tonight when I went to 20 meters, when I went to 20 meters from 17, the antenna tuned bang, 1, 2, 3, and as I tuned through the band, I mean, I had stations coming in. I worked Italy tonight. It was really something. I was wondering, you know, maybe because of the weather, it interfered with the antenna on that frequency.
Well, certainly because your antenna is mounted on a air conditioner box, basically. I mean, that certainly could be that moisture could enter into the picture, or lack of moisture, as the case may be. So that certainly could be it. But so after you went to 20, you were able to auto-tune back on 17?
Yeah, it was like picture perfect, you know. I hit the tune, and it took a few seconds, you know, and all of a sudden, bang, there it was. And I started moving through the band, and I was picking up stations all over the place. Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Missouri. Like I said, I worked Italy tonight. And they all gave me good reports, you know. And I was wondering if, you know, like the weather had something to do with the antenna not tuning.
It might, but I'm just trying to make sure I got the scenario right. You went to 17, it wouldn't tune. You went to 20, it did tune. You worked some stations. You went back to 17, you were also able to work stations. Did it tune?
No, I didn't go back to 17. I had to go to 2 meters for a net from another club that I belong to.
Okay. So, you still don't know whether you can auto-tune on 17 now that you've successfully auto-tuned on 20. Sometimes those systems get out of sync with themselves. I just can't quite figure themselves out. So you go to a band where it can, then you go back to the other band, and magically it works. You might try that. Otherwise, yeah, it could very well be environmental. Anybody else have any comments? This is K2BAR.
What kind of tuner is it?
Fred Richard.
Yeah, it's a tuner that comes built into the 897.
Let me qualify that. The HS120 is a purpose-built antenna for that radio, or that series of radios, that is smart enough to know how to drive it, but it's basically a screwdriver, and the controller software is built into the radio. It's not a tuner, per se. It's a radio that's smart enough to know how to drive a tunable antenna.
So you move to a portion of the band where you know it tunes, and then slowly creep up on it, let it go. I know I've experienced that. That's probably the same situation. I doubt if the weather had anything to do with it unless something was wet.
We doubled, Jim.
Okay, how much of that did you get?
We got the end remark, but you didn't go. We missed the dynamics of how you were, you know, jiggled the antenna to then ultimately get it to tune.
what my comment was is sometimes these LC antenna tuners, which just tune with a two-component solution to a very reactive antenna, sometimes have a little problem in getting close. Once they start to get close, then the work is easy for them. So sometimes if you have an antenna that gets a little reactive up in the end of the band or further ado up there, you tune it into an area that's close to the frequency but not quite, then you know it works. Then creep up on it. That's very, very common with these antennas on 80 meters. So maybe you would just had it in a position where it was just having a tough time solving the complex equation there, and it just gave up.
Yeah, comment here. What may be relevant, and is to your point, Jim, this is a purpose-built antenna for that series of radios. So it's a screwdriver, essentially, where the smarts to drive the screwdriver are built into the radio, so it could exactly suffer the symptoms you're describing.
Okay, I thought it was an LC tuner in the radio.
No, it's an LC tuner where the L is the antenna itself.
NJ2BA with a comment.
Go ahead, Mike.
Right, I wanted to ask if the antenna tuned up on 17 meters in dry weather previously.
It worked like a charm. I just tried it while everybody was talking, and it wouldn't tune again, and I went back to 20 meters, and bang, it tuned right up.
Well, my guess is the moisture in the system is what's causing the problem.
The atmospheric system, or what? Explain that.
Sure. The whole antenna system is moist, damp, humid, whatever, and it's just having trouble getting sync and getting a null that works for the satisfies the circuit. Now, can you manually tune it to the point where it works?
I can get pretty close with manually tuning it. That it'll do. I can get pretty close, but everything is really scratchy and everything when you hear it. You know, it's not clear. You got a lot of static, even with all the filters kicked in. So, you know, we had a lot of static. You know, well, we had static over on 20, but we were able to knock a tremendous amount of it out with the filters once we turned them on and adjusted them. So that's why I was wondering about the weather.
All right, now I'm confused. Why did you have to kick the filters in to get rid of static? I know it's what the filters do, but are you saying 17 was staticky?
Yeah, that's firm. You know, this thing only sits about a foot and a half away from the wall of the building. So, when you transmit, you know, you're like banging right back into yourself. On whatever frequency. I figure that should be, part of the problem or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that very well could be. I mean, keep in mind now, the building face is now wet, right? So now you have this highly capacitive thing that became a little more capacitive parallel to your antenna. So I got to believe that that's playing games with you. So, keep that in mind as well. Anyway, anybody else have a comment?
Another comment here.
Okay, Mike.
I was going to say the wet weather could just push it outside of range that the automatic tuner is looking for. That automatic tuner should find the lowest, but if if the lowest is still outside of its range, then it could be rejecting it, and just looping around and not finding what it any kind of low SWR that it needs. Though manually, you might still find a low point, but still not one low enough for the automatic tuner to recognize. Of course, in the dry weather, that could change. So between wet and dry on 17 meters, you might very well be right on the edge there of what the auto tuner can handle. But in dry weather, it might be just good enough to make it. And, of course, I guess that's it. Back to you, K2BAR.
Yeah, I think you were spot on.
Exactly.
All right, well, there you go, Richard. Anybody else have any more comments before we hand it back to Richard for his close on this subject? All righty. Well, Richard's all yours.
Okay, and I just wanted to say thanks. The last person with the comment, that does seem to be exactly how the antenna is operating at this point. The best thing I can do is wait till it dries out and try to tune the antenna again. And, obviously when it dries out a little bit, the ion in the air will also change a little bit too. So it changes the magnetic field around the antenna maybe, sitting on top of the air conditioner cover. So I think the last comment was, like I said, was spot on. And that seems to be what's happening. But I'll keep looking at it the next couple of days to see what's going on with it. This is KC2PYB.
Very good. Maybe next week you can come back and give us a report as to what's going on with that. I think everybody would like to know. All right. Before we move on, are there any other check-ins with or without questions or comments? Then that, please call KTBAR.
This is KTZ over to call.
Go ahead, Jim.
Okay, in my answer, I assumed that the antenna tuner was in the radio, because that's what I was told. But in actuality, what the antenna tuner was an external one that the radio was controlling.
Yeah, basically. I mean, I think your observation was still valid.
Well, I've seen weird things like that happen. I know on my LDG, it's like that. You know, you start off on a van where there's a lot of reactants, and sometimes it fails, and then you just kind of creep up on it. All right, that's the last of that. Back to that.
Yeah, you have an LGD 200 and an LDG 1000?
No, I have an LGD 200 and an AT 2500. That.
Who makes the 2500?
Bell Industries. Remember that one?
Oh my.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looking down this list of who's here tonight, maybe Tony knows. I would doubt if anyone else would. Your excuse, Tony. You guys licensed in the late 70s, as opposed to the mid 70s, like me, as opposed to 19. I don't know. Did you operate on license before there was a licensing for you? I was just curious if you had a ham license before there was regulation. My. All right. Yeah, I have that same problem every so often with my LDG, but more importantly, I have it more frequently. So I'm not careful about selecting the right length wire, the band in question, on my AH4 tuner. By the way, it was really interesting. Jim was about half scale here before, as his batteries were dying, and he wasn't taking a repeater anymore. So that's pretty cool. Okay, any other check-ins to that? Please call KCBAR. Alrighty, any other questions or comments to that? Go right ahead. Let me repeat your question. Am I making a repeater? No, you're not. Repeater's having some trouble, and so what I'll do is I'll repeat your question. So we'll see on the input on my other antenna. All right, so the question was, in the latest, I believe you said June issue of QST, there were two things of interest. One is that the reference to the Barra Hamfest was there 2 weeks before the Hamfest, and that's good. And then the other cued reference was to a recommendation whereby guys were encouraged to operate with the some of these funky digital modes, you know, weak signal modes, but using FM. Pardon me. And from what I hear, let me drop it. And from what I hear from that, the idea is to capitalize on the capture effect of FM. If you get a limited capture effect, you still get enough of the signal across that some of these funky narrowband, shall we say, FEC type modes will work and work quite well. Even in a marginal FM signal, like what we heard you doing and, frankly, what Jim was doing before. I'm not convinced that Jim's problem with batteries, and it could be, because he was full quieting on my input receiver right to the point where, you know, he unkeyed. So I think there's a problem with the repeater, Tony. I mean, I'm running 100 watts pointing straight at it, so it's really not a problem. I think folks with more modern setups are having trouble getting into the repeater at this point. Does anybody have any thoughts on that? Please call KTBR.
What I was hinting to is they show an interface that can be built for this purpose, and they refer to it as a simple interface. Uses a couple of transistors and a little transformer. Weak signal work would be a way to go with that, but weak signal work on DigiPan and other digital modes doesn't seem to occur very often, and I guess they're trying to encourage that. By the way, I upped my power at the transmitter here. Is this a better signal?
Actually, I turned down the receiver because it was annoying me. What is your making those transmissions a short one?
And this is K2AMI testing because I'm running a little more power than previously. How's copy now? Through the repeater.
Yeah, it's got some crackles on you, but you're okay. So, the idea is to try the try DigiPan with signal type mode over FM. And they have an interface that they recommend. That's pretty cool. I'm not so sure that it's going to be real popular. But I'll tell you what, I'd be willing to try it. My guess is that it would work pretty well. So, getting people to do weak signal modes in general, but or digital modes, is tough stuff. You know, people have to be willing to work at things like that. Ah, dear me. Hiller just pushed the puck in with his pad. Breaks my heart. Ducks are down 4-3 to the wings. Just thought people would like to know. Building interfaces and trying to use them. Open here in the ham shack, and I actually can hear the wind kicking up a bit.
So, K2AMI first, and then N2AL, this is K2BAR. Your comments.
The situation we have in this county now is
If you belong to a certain OEM, if you belong to a certain club, you'll get called. When did the president of a private amateur radio club become responsible for providing those people that the county needs in an emergency? What you get is anybody then with no training, no understanding of what's going on, shows up, and we look like a pack of idiots standing out there trying to provide communication. It's time to throw all that off, say we're in the 21st century, stop saying I don't want to take the FEMA courses, take the FEMA course, learn what needs to be done, and get out there and let's do it. And we all wear one hat that just says Bergen County NCOM, and we just go to where we're needed, when we're needed, and not worry about what organization and did I pay my dues. You have highly trained people sitting on the sidelines because maybe the president of that club doesn't like them or doesn't even know they exist, and that should not be. The people of Bergen County who pay high taxes deserve better, and we should be giving that to them as good as we can and not whatever they want to give.
Okay. All right, Richard. That's good. Okay, fine. Any other comments, please call K2BAR. All right, let me try the repeater this one. W2TTT, K2BAR, let's see if we're getting the repeater. How's the signal now, Richard, K2BAR?
I'm clear, loud and clear.
All right, good. Yeah, the repeater seemed to have been stronger at the end of Tony's comment than yours. All righty. Noelle, are you there? Anybody else want to make a comment? And I think I want to throw it back to Tony after that. This is K2BAR.
How was that transmission?
I was coming back to Brooklyn. Thanks again.
Yeah, no problem. I run an Omni vertical on a second rig on the input, so I can hear when this repeater does this. I mean, there's something going on in the site that has changed. It's causing some grief, but you know, it's getting kind of critical. Anyway, Godspeed and good hearing you. NJ2BA W2TTT.